Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I did a little remodeling in my house a few years ago and was so pleased with the final results. The transformation was just what I had hoped for, but it took time and many hours of patience. Sometimes I do remodeling without even realizing I am doing it. I move things around in my house, or add or subtract an item because I see a better potential. God is in the business of remodeling, of repairing, of fixing, of transforming a weary way of life into something new, calling us into our potential. We are after something new when we do a remodel. When I did my remodel, I had a contractor who supervised others in the change and transformation. God is the divine contractor who in Jesus became the contractor among us, building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, giving us a blueprint for radical love. Just as contractors need a variety of people with a variety of skills, so are we needed for the divine remodel. For the past few weeks, we have been hearing the job descriptions for a disciple of Jesus. These chapters in Matthew's gospel have been describing the tools that make for change and transformation. But becoming a transformed and transformative disciple can be hard, necessary, and sometimes lonely work. The message in the last lines of today's gospel is actually more about transformation than rest, even though the opening lines feel comforting. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. When I hear that beautiful message from Jesus, I just want to take a deep breath and pretend I'm falling back into a swimming pool of refreshing water. But there is more here than the invitation to rest. This is an invitation to not go on your own, to not do things the way you always have. But sometimes we have a certain idea about something, and we really do not want the input or help of others. We really want to go it alone. But the Jesus contractor is actually saying, hey, you do not need to stop what you are doing with your life, doing the work or task or responsibility before you, but let me help you do it in a different way. I will shoulder the burden with you. So take my yoke and learn from me. The yoke Jesus was talking about was for two oxen standing right next to each other. A yoke was carved in such a way that the weight would be distributed evenly and that there would be no chafing. Jesus is the message. I want to work with you. I will share your heavy burdens. And there is much work to do in the building of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It is the work of change and transformation. Jesus does not offer us freedom from work, but freedom from a feeling of useless labor. Jesus does not tell us to put down our burdens, but through the power of a hidden strength, we can carry on. Jesus does not say what he offers will prevent tiredness or weariness, but that in our hardest moments, there is a deeper rest as we learn to let go and let God be God and show us the way. In his letters from a Birmingham jail, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tells about a 72-year-old African-American woman who gave up riding buses to support a bus boycott in support of racial integration. Her support of the boycott meant that she had to walk a very long distance every day. She was not a strong woman physically, and the walking tired her. Friends were concerned and suggested that she should ride the bus. Other people could support the boycott. Dr. King reported her response. She said, "My feet is tired, but my soul is at rest." The life to which Jesus invites us is at once restful, purposeful, and useful. The life to which Jesus invites us is a life that counts, no matter how old or young you are. We are invited to be the instruments that offer to carry the yoke of another. We are the body of Christ in this world. In the beginning of this gospel, Jesus insists that his calling will be recognized not by the powerful or the wise and intelligent, but by the lowly. And he calls them infants because these first followers were so young in his ways, in the knowledge of God's unconditional transforming love. And Jesus insisted that there were no strings attached. They did not have to prove anything to receive this inner strength, the soul rest that Jesus offered. They just needed to seek first this new kingdom of change and transformation, and then what they truly needed would be given them: wisdom, loving kindness, renewal, strength for the journey, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Once a month, on the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have a service at night we call Tazay for healing and wholeness. There are two periods of reflection and there is simple chanting. The chapel is filled with candles and the lights are low. The simple service is patterned after an ecumenical monastery in France. And its simplicity and power has spread across the world. Someone going to Tazay, France, several years ago, after spending a few days at the monastery, among thousands of young people who had arrived, said, "Do you know why I like being there so much? Because no one was telling me what to do. I know the stories about Jesus, and being there feels like what it should be. I like it there because I simply get to be." Have we forgotten how to be? How to gain spiritual rest? We may be driven by the vibration or sound of our cell phones. It seems we are constantly in touch with others. We may not have boundaries that guard our inner dwelling, the life force of our souls, where Jesus can reach us. We may be worrying about certain matters with such intensity, the peace of Jesus cannot get in. Our minds seem to shuttle back and forth, weaving webs of anxious confusion. The soul rest of Jesus can become entangled in the sticky web of our worry. No matter the cause of our burdens, Jesus wants us to come to him just as we are, to join with him. But we might not think of ourselves as an ox, invited to share a yoke with another ox. Yet, that is the invitation. We are in this together, because we all need help with our burdens. And the one balancing and carrying the load is none other than the divine contractor, Jesus Christ, who truly knows how it all works out. The end result is change and transformation for everyone. This prayer is attributed to Mother Teresa, and it describes what a remodeled Christian begins to look like. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere people, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Do good anyway. Every day, because we are invited into a transformative discipleship. Embrace our closing hymn. We are God's people. Our cornerstone is Jesus. Oh, let us live transparently, walk heart to heart and hand in hand. Amen.